I have yet to be one who thinks my first thought. I shouldn't say that out loud. This is the thought for today. And this is the thought that most of us have saying for ourselves. I have yet to be one who thinks my first thought. Most of us have not the slightest idea what our first thought is. Because about the time we were thinking about our first thought and trying to understand our first thought, we're already on the 300th thought or better, you know. Because the thoughts just whiz by us. They just zoom by our consciousness and zoom in and out, and we don't have any idea what our first thought is. Now, you get up in the morning, what's your first thought? Is your first thought to get out of bed or wake up? Is your first thought to go to the bathroom? Is your first thought to do what? What's your first thought? If your first thought is, I am God, God I am. If your first thought is, I am the creator of my world, and my world is beautiful and good. If that's your first thought, then you're doing good stuff. But if your first thought is, another day, oh my goodness, you know. If your first thought is, oh, get out of the bathroom, I need the bathroom, you know, somebody else is using it, you know. And your first thought is, what are we having for breakfast? The same old stuff we always have, you know. No, if those are your first thoughts, that's not good first thoughts. They're kind of limited, aren't they? And if those are the kind of thoughts you think, and you do, we do think those thoughts, you know that. That's not just something I've made up. That's something that is. Why don't we make it a habit to say all of our life, I'm God, God I am, I'm God, God I am, I'm God, God I am, I'm God, God I am. Nothing else but that. You say, but I've got to do my job. I've got to read a book. I've got to go and write letters. I've got to, and I can't be saying I'm God, God I am. Why not? Why not? Can you not have, you can certainly have the thought, I am God, God I am, in your consciousness so much that when you wake up in the middle of the night from sleeping, deep sleep, you go to the bathroom and you say, I'm God, God I am, I'm God, God I am. You crawl out of bed in the morning and say, I'm God, God I am, I'm God, God I am. You sit down to supper and you say, I'm God, God I am, I'm God, God I am. You do anything and you precede it with, I'm God, God I am. And then go on with your work, using that as your foundation, I'm God, God I am. And watch the magic take place in your life. Now, you can also say, I like me. That's good too. I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. Sing it and holler it and shout it and make a mantra out of it. And do all the good stuff. You see, these positive statements are wonderful. I'm God, God I am is sufficient. You don't even have to understand what it means. In fact, the less you understand about it, the better. Because the minute you try to understand it, and then you try to make it into relative words, and then when you put it in relative words, you limit it. And why should we ever limit God? Limit the concept of God. There's no sense to it. Now, I like me. I'm God. I live in my
idea of spirit, mind, and body.
I like that. She really got that one down good. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Ellen, how many trillion times do you say that every day?
Mm-hmm. Trillion, billion, zillion.
All right. Ellen, when you answer the phone, is the first thought going through your mind, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body? That's great. Because then you pick up the phone and someone is there for counseling. Someone is there asking for a prayer treatment. And they say, I got a problem. And you say, you live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Next, you know, next. No comment, no discussion, but I want to talk about it. Well, then talk with somebody. I've got other things to do. I see you holding perfect. I see me holding perfect. I don't have time to bend your ear with a bunch of information about nothing that you're not going to pay any attention to, you know. We eventually get back to, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Right, Heinz?
Right.
See, he's so well trained. You know, this is great. You're all beautiful. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And this is fantastic, because this is what we want to happen, isn't it? It's what we want to happen. I had a lady call up yesterday. You know who you are. And she listens to these all the time, too. And she said, I got a problem. I said, what's your solution? She said, I don't like myself when I do that solution. And I said, well, what's your solution? She says, my solution is to make up my own mind and not do what I said I was going to do. And so, then what? Then what? I said to her, you do whatever you want to do. You do whatever you want to do. Whatever you think you'd like to do. Because you're God. You're the master of your being, your master of your life, the master of your way. So if you want to do that, I won't say what it is she wants to do, but if you want to do that, you go right ahead and do it. She says, but I feel so guilty because I made a promise. I said, break it. You're breaking them all the time anyhow. You said you would say, I am God 100 million billion times a day, and you haven't even begun to say it that often. I know, because you can't do it. Not enough minutes in the day to do that. But you haven't done it. You have agreed to say that divine wisdom guides me in all that I do. All that I do is in divine right order. My life is in divine right order. My family is in divine right order. I am in divine right order. Now, have you said that every moment of every day? You promised you would. Now, are the promises to other people more important than the promises to yourself? Or are they all equally important? Is it a matter of living the principle? Living the principle. When you say you'll do something, you do it. You stand up for whoever it is you are and whatever it is you believe. Can you do that? Can you stand up for that? Can you really be who you are and let nothing walk in and dissuade you from that? I talked to another lady, and you guys think that I just talk to two or three people. And the ladies are good, too. But just two or three people. I have quite a number of them during the day. You don't know about even. But anyhow, this lady was saying, I can't say it. And I said, what do you mean you can't say it? I can't say that I'm God, because that's blasphemy. And I said, oh, whoever told you that? Well, it says so in the Bible. Thou shalt not take the name of the God, Lord thy God, in vain, you know. Well, what's it in vain? Are you not the creation of the infinite and the allness? Yeah. Does God create dum-dums or people who are not fantastic? No. Well, then why are you saying that you cannot say that you are God? Why are you saying you cannot say that you're God, huh? Well, because the church says I shouldn't say that. Where does the church say that? They said, we are sons of God, and Jesus was the Son of God. Well, then they say Jesus was God, and then they say Jesus was Son of God. You know, everybody's got these things a little confused. So, God is all, and you are in that allness, and you are that allness, and whatever God created, God has all that it is in whatever it created, and we are that creation, you are that creation, I am that creation, hence, I am God. Now, the reason that we don't teach in our churches and in our educational institutions that I am God is because the teachers are chicken. They're afraid to say, I am God, and then stand up for it. Because if you are God, you cannot do anything and say, I didn't know it was going to happen. You cannot plead ignorance of anything, because you know everything. You cannot say that I didn't know it would hurt. I didn't know that this would happen. I didn't. You do too. Because you're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You know all things. And there is no beginning nor end, but you know the middle. And you're living the middle, and that's called the now. That's an interesting idea. The middle is the now. And you're living the middle. You're living the middle, and you're living the now. And that's a positive idea. But think about it. The reason people are afraid to say, I'm God, is that they then and there take responsibility for everything in their life and their world. Everything. No matter what happens to them in their life and their world, They must take responsibility for it because they say, I am God, I'm the creator. Now, a lot of people, and I've been reading this recently a lot lately, and a lot of people are saying, I am co-creator with God. And when we say we're co-creator with God, what are we saying? We're saying that, well, I'm on equal terms with God. You know, God is this, and I am this, and the two of us are, you know, doing this together.
The other half.
Yeah, the other half, like in a marriage, huh? And that's stupid, too. But marriages don't have halves. If they had two half people married to each other, they wouldn't even have a whole. You know, they'd have a mess. But when they have two whole people married together, wow, do they have fireworks. Do they have imagination going? Do they have magic going every moment of the day and night and what have you, you know? Neat. So, but again, back to our point. When you say, I'm God, that means you must take responsibility for everything you think, say, and do. And can you do that? I have yet to be one who thinks my first thought. This is a statement that has come down to us historically. I have yet to be one who thinks his first thought. We think we cannot think our first thought, basically because we have not trained ourselves to do it. You talk to these autistic children and you say, plus, minus, what's the answer? They give you the answer right away. They don't stop and think. That's their first thought, that answer. If they were to stop and think about it, I think, and then they give the wrong answer. But they give you the first answer, and it's always right. Amazing. You, in your eagerness, may have given them a bunch of numbers that you didn't add up yourself, and so you couldn't check to see if they really had the right answer, and that'd be foolish to do. Always write it down first, and then read it off to them, and then let them give you the answer, because they tune in to their first thoughts. They have no qualm about it. They haven't got the idea that they're supposed to think before they act. Your first thought, yes, you must have your first thought known to you and then act, but you don't think about your first thought. Because if you think about your first thought, what you're doing is you're empowering your first thought to be watered down. You're empowering your first thought to be something other than what it is, a pure, wonderful thought. Again, if we could take the little children, and like that one Star Trek show had it, where the older people, you're born old, you know, you're born mature with all your knowledge and all your wisdom. And then as the years go by, you lose a little. And then when you get to be a child, then you die. And in the Star Trek show, the children say, they're trying to kill us. But it was that particular modus operandi that their culture had, which is very unusual. But you see, where did the thought of that come from? Where did the thought of that come from? From some mind. And here Star Trek makes it one of their shows. Do you think that empowers that concept? My goodness, yes. Wouldn't it be something if we'd snap our finger and now all of a sudden we have a new way of looking at things? Mm. We're going the other way.
Yeah, well, now is a good time to do that.
now is a good time. We're starting out older and getting younger. But this is the thing that the show pointed out too, which I think is very wonderful, to a degree. The show pointed out that they retained their brilliance throughout all of their years, even as they were getting ready to move out. And they were always brilliant, as brilliant as they were. And some people just didn't choose to be brilliant. And we have adults like that today, who just don't choose to be brilliant. They don't choose to take their first thought. They don't choose to act upon the wisdom that is within them. All you have to do is say what, Ellen?
I know that.
Ah, beautiful. I know that I know that I know God in me is the answer. That's all you have to say. I know that I know that I know God in me is the answer. Now, the heights. When you run across the problem next time, you just say, I know that I know that I know God in me is the answer. And believe it. You see, and then, of course, Heinz has a problem here too. Heinz's problem is he may have the information and have the answer, but he forgot to take the key out. And the key is your first thought. If you haven't trained yourself to listen to your first thought and hear your first thought and act upon your first thought, then you will take some second or third or 1500 thought and think that that is the answer. Now listen, is this right or wrong? Shall I do this or shall I not do this? Which way shall I go? I think I should go this way, but if I go that way, this happens. If I go this way, that happens. Now if I go straight ahead, well, there's no path, and so I really have to go to the right or to the left. Now, what am I going to do? Your infinite wisdom is speaking to you as you first have the question that is before you. Which way shall I go? And the infinite wisdom says, straight ahead, grady house. And so you say, but there's no path there. There's a path this way and a path this way, but there's no path straight ahead. I have to climb over the fence and then go through the field there. And your first thought repeats, straight ahead, straight ahead, straight ahead, straight ahead, straight ahead. And you don't do it. You say, but it's not reasonable and it's not logical. There's no path there. There's a path this way and this way. Now, shall I take the right or the left? You know? And the divine wisdom in you says, straight ahead, straight ahead, straight ahead. I've got a broken record there. Straight ahead, straight ahead. And so you say, no logic to it. I'm going to the right. So you go to the right. And lo and behold, the road has fallen off the side of the cliff. So then you walk back, and you go to the right. And lo and behold, the river had washed the road away. And then you go back to where you started. And then you say, well, all I can do is try straight ahead once. And you go straight ahead, and there is a perfect field of clover and beautiful flowers and gentle breeze, and there's no path. But you just walk right straight through it, and it is paradise. And when you come out the other side, there's the Emerald City. Now, you would never have known that. You could have gone this path, you wouldn't have got to Emerald City. Gone this path, you wouldn't have got to Emerald City. But straight ahead, right through the field. Remember? Remember, Dorothy? Remember the path disappeared, remember? You don't remember that. The path disappeared, and what was growing over the path?
Flowers.
I'm sorry?
Flowers.
Poppies.
Poppies.
Yeah. Poppies. And the scent of the poppies did what to Dorothy? They put her to sleep. And you see, she didn't know what to do. But she had some mechanical people with her. We were not put to sleep, and they helped her through the situation. But she was following her own inner wisdom, wasn't she? And she wanted to lay down. And what did her inner wisdom say?
Don't
lay down. Don't give up. There's the Emerald City right there. See it? Go for it. And so finally, what happened? The good fairy made it snow. And when it snowed, then the effect of the poppy was gone. And everyone woke up and went for the walk, continued on through, and made it perfectly to the Emerald City. You see, we can believe, we can follow our inner guidance, we can follow our inner judgment, and we can have a wonderful time. But if we don't follow that inner guidance and inner judgment, what we do is we go to those roads that are not through roads. We go to those pathways that have fallen away. And we run into all sorts of problems. I have yet to be one who thinks my first thought. Well, this moment, I think my first thought. And every moment of my life, henceforth, I think my first thought. Because my first thought is a thought that leads me to express the wisdom, the genius, and the God that I am. I love you. I love you. I love you.